Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
Me, Ben Hobson.
And me, Jane Maguire.
Today we're talking with Intizar Abdul-Kadir about harassment on the run, which is all part of our Reclaim Your Run campaign. Jane, do you want to just sort of let any listeners know a little bit more about it if they're not familiar with what we're doing?
Yeah, so Reclaim Your Run is a kind of joint campaign with our sister brand, Women's Health. And we surveyed over 2,000 runners and we asked females predominantly about their experience of harassment when running, and I think the top line was that 60% of female runners have been harassed while running, 25% receive sexual harassment very often when they're running, and I think 6% have feared for their life when they're running. So it was shocking. It shows that we haven't really moved on since we last did the survey in 2015. And I think we had 600 women share their stories with us. And Intizar, who you'll hear from later in the podcast, is one of those women. So it's been really eye-opening. And I think it shows that female runners don't always feel safe. And it's something that needs to change, both in the running community and broader.
Before we discuss it, Rick, you've got a couple of letters that you were going to just read out.
Yeah, we got a few letters on this in the magazine. I just wanted to thank you for the excellent report in this month's issue, Reclaim Your Run. I began the article being glad that I did not associate with running with a culture of fear. I soon realised, however, that I do many things mentioned in the report. Only running in daylight, carrying my keys to use as a weapon in quiet places, and changing my running walking routes if areas are too quiet. My general rule of thumb is, if someone can't hear me shouting for help, I shouldn't run there, which I now realise limits my running routes. Going forward, as suggested, I'll be more active in showing solidarity with other runners and support the Crime Not Compliment campaign. And that came through from Annabelle. And then, thank you so much for drawing attention again to the harassment female runners face. I am sorry to say that this harassment faces women of all ages. As a woman in my 60s, I very rarely get harassed while out walking anymore. But I put on my running gear and it's a different situation. I don't wear revealing kit, but when out running on my own, I'm frequently abused and have twice been chased. The strange thing is, it's often much younger men, even boys, who do this. So men my own age can be patronising, but rarely threatening. So, yeah, that's an interesting kind of take on this, is actually it's not just younger women who are facing harassment or even being chased, sort of physical abuse on the run. It's actually women of all ages. And that came through from Carol, who was, again, very much in favour of our Reclaim Your Run campaign.
And Jane, you were sort of, you've been working tirelessly through all of the survey results, and you've sort of, some of the comments obviously were sort of struck a chord with you in terms of experience and what people were talking about. And it's not just harassment from what people might perceive to be harassment, and what actually is harassment was kind of the big sort of takeaway from it.
Yeah, I think the stories that have stuck with me, and I'll read Tessa's story out in a second, is that I think people, it's majority male, they might shout something out the window as a funny comment, but they don't realise the implications. They don't realise that woman won't ever forget that. They won't ever, you know, they'll always remember that. And I'll read Tessa. We've got a story on the site for anyone who wants to read it, where 50 women share, I've taken their quotes from, it's not their whole stories, but I've taken quotes just because you know, as I said, 600 women wrote in and I wanted those voices to be heard. And Tessa wrote, the experience I remember most clearly was when I was running down one of my usual routes and a group of lads in a car slowed down, rolled down the window and called me fat. Because I was running on the path by the side of the main road through town, I diverted my course for a more residential area. I was worried those lads would pass me again. I'm not particularly concerned about my weight. I'm a size 12, but this was really upsetting. I didn't run that route again for the long time afterwards, and I've never worn the top I was wearing since. It was a nice top, and it's gutting really when I think about it. And honestly, that story even now makes me so sad, because it's just, you know, what, she's never worn that outfit again, and it's such a silly, those boys probably won't even remember shouting that, but it's, do you know what I mean, it's, I think it just it shows that these silly comments really affect women, and I think men as well, but maybe they don't experience it as much.
That's part of the main, hopefully, aims of this whole survey, and then the Reclaim Your Run thing is not just to raise awareness of the things that female runners have to go through to on a daily basis when they consider a run, but also just to highlight to men who are the main perpetrators of all these acts, is that you might consider harassment, or these any man might consider harassment to be something physical or something like threatening, or not, as you say, they consider, oh, it's just a funny joke, I was just, you know, messing around, shouting something out the window. But those things, like, first of all, you have no position or place to be saying anything to anyone about how they look or what they're doing when they're out for a run. And secondly, it's just the sort of, it's that sort of sense of power or whatever it is that forces people or makes people want to do these things. And that is harassment. Like, you're using your position or your power or your physical threat or your whatever it is to put, you know, to say something to someone, that something that is untoward, and that is harassment. And even if you think it's funny, or you think it's a joke, or it's not racist, or you're not being sexual, or any of those things, just saying something like "you look fat" is harassment.
Yeah, I think it's an educational piece. I mean, it's interesting you say that, because I think some of the reaction that on social media, it does seem like it's a slightly divisive issue, and there's an accusation mainly from men again that we may be in some way exaggerating the issue, or the fact that it's not just, this is a popular one, isn't it? It's not just women that receive harassment on the run, which is, of course, is true. But the vast majority of harassment is towards women, and even when it's towards men, I would suggest that it's other men harassing men. So even if women aren't always the victims, men are always the perpetrators near enough. And I just think it doesn't really reflect well on men to sort of say, well, look, actually, we're harassed too. It's like, yeah, okay, that is true, and that's not all right. But we have to own this as a largely what is a male problem.
Yeah, I think as someone who went through the 600 responses and more, most of the male ones were harassment by dogs, which is probably an issue for another podcast. But I don't think it can be branded harassment in the same way as some of the female experiences, from my opinion, and I'm sure people won't agree.
The stark difference in saying I went for a run and a dog barked at me or chased me, and that's the extent of it, to I was running and a man on a bike shouted he was going to rape me for 4 miles. That's the sort of difference in story we're talking about. Well, look, before we talk to our guest of the week, Jane, how can anyone get involved with the Reclaim Your Run campaign?
So you can show your solidarity for the campaign and stand with those 25% of women who are routinely sexually harassed while out running by heading for your run yourself. Do 25 minutes and post about it on your Instagram using the hashtag Reclaim Your Run, tagging Runners World and Women's Health UK. You can also, if you head to runnersworld.com/UK/reclaimyourrun, you can sign the Crime Not Compliment campaign from Our Streets Now and Plan International UK, which is aiming to make harassment a crime.
Guest of the week, here in the studio, guest of the week, sometimes on the phone, could be an athlete, could be a physio, or a complete unknown.
Intisar Abdulkadir is an NHS public health practitioner from Harrow and has been running for over 10 years. And Insar was out for a run last summer when she was harassed by a group of men for wearing her hijab. She's spoken about her harassment as part of the Runner's World and Women's Health the Reclaim Your Run campaign, where she said, "I'm determined to continue running. It's an act of defiance." Insar is here to share our story. Insar is here to share her story with our listeners. Insar, welcome to the Runner's World podcast. So you've told your story online, but can you share what happened to you with our listeners?
This incident, it happened last year, July, and it was during the time of, I think it was around the time of Eat Out to Help Out as well. I think I've got the dates right. But it was a Wednesday, I remember, and I had like a 2-hour break in my day because I work from home for the NHS. And I thought, oh, I can get a run in. And I had an easy run schedule for the day. I thought, let me go out. It was hot, I remember. And I went out, and I live where I live in Harrow. It's quiet, but residential quiet. So the people I see around is people that live around my neighborhood. So we kind of all know each other. So I went out for my usual route, and I've got this habit of changing it around during the week, the running week. I don't like to run the same place twice. So I thought, let me run this route today, and then on my way back, I can stop and grab coffee and walk home and continue my working day. And it's a route that I know off by heart. I went out, and I think it was 2 kilometers in, and then it's this Italian pizzeria coffee shop that we have down the road, and there's a group of guys sitting outside. And I mean, I had my headsets in. I've got them in now, but they're wireless. And I wear a Nike Pro hijab when I'm out running or training, so you can't see that I'm wearing headsets. But whenever I'm out on a run, and it's for safety reasons, it's a habit that I picked up in the past 10 years, is I have my music on, like, not too low but not too high. I want to be aware of my surroundings. You hear of all these accidents that happen to runners. I just want to be cautious as well, but at the same time, enjoy a good playlist when I'm out. But that particular day, my music was very low, so I couldn't easily hear conversations that are happening, and I wasn't far away from the table as well. And then one of them, that they all, you can, when people stop to stare, it's a sense that you pick up that someone's looking at you. And I stopped immediately, and then I stood there waiting because I knew they were going to say something. One of them was, anyways, because of the way he was looking at me at the time. And then he was like, "Oh, you?" And I thought, okay, I'm the only one running here. So I looked around. And then immediately he was like, "Yes, you." So I was like, okay, he's talking to me then. So I completely switched off my music, and I didn't reply back. I didn't say, "Yes, gonna help," nothing, because his tone was aggressive. So I thought, I'm not gonna reply. And then he was like, "Oh, it's hot enough. I'm sure your God would allow you to take off some layers and your headscarf and run." And then I thought, why do you want me to take off layers and run? Like, what does it matter what I'm wearing if I'm out running? Like, it doesn't matter if I'm fully covered or wearing a sports bra and shorts. It's got nothing to do with you, what a woman and a girl or anybody that identifies as female is wearing out on a run. And then I'm a Muslim woman. I'm visibly a Muslim. You can see I'm wearing a headscarf. You can see I'm wearing running gear. And I thought, okay, shall I retaliate? Shall I say something? There was one gentleman in the group that kind of like looked at his friend in shock, and I wish he said something, because that's when allies are really needed. But I could see his body language was kind of like he was taken back by his friend. But obviously, because they were a group of friends, he didn't. But it was that one loud individual out of the five that obviously felt so confident to say something out loud. There was other tables around. Other people looked at him in like shock, because children were sitting there as well. And I thought, is this the example you want to show the world? Is this how you want to look like? And then he laughed out loud. But two of his friends didn't join in the laughter, and two did. And then I thought, shame on you for saying that. Shame on you for making me feel like this. But also at the same time, I felt such guilt of not speaking up. I was like, why didn't I say something? Afterwards, in hindsight, I was like, why didn't I like retaliate and say something and say like, this is illegal. What you're saying is you're Islamophobic, you're being misogynistic, you're racist. It's unnecessary. You're being unkind. Like, it's just thought, what does it matter what I'm wearing if I'm out on a run? Yes, it's hot, but everything I'm wearing is Nike Hypercool. I am as cool as a cucumber. Like, I'm not hot. It doesn't bother me. So why does it bother you, you know? But and then I stopped and I thought, I looked at him, but you could see the look of disgust on my face. I continued on running. He continued on laughing. But I didn't go on that same route that I would go on. I remember I took a right and then a right, and I turned back on myself because I just wanted to go home. But I didn't want to stop and turn back because you would know that's the way home. I continued on running. I took a couple of rights and a left because it's my area. I grew up here, so I know it. And then I went home. But it kind of like, I got in and I was just so angry, frustrated, sad, heartbroken. And I still had my working day to kind of like wrap my head around as well. Working in mental health services is so, especially in the past year that we've had in the pandemic, has been grueling. I mean, the influx of information that we get sometimes is like, we need time off as well as members of staff for the NHS. And then running was my time off during the day. It was my break. But either I run in the morning, in the afternoon, or after work. It's my little bit of like, we're living in hard times, living in a pandemic. The world just opened up a little bit at the time. So everybody was excited to like go out and like enjoy just sitting outside and a little bit of normality. And running is normality for me. And I felt like that normality was taken away a little bit. And then I thought, I should have said something, but what if I did say something and I was attacked because it was 5-1 at the time. And I thought, it's a restaurant, there's cameras there. It's somewhere that I go. Like they probably would have like said something to defend. But I didn't want to risk it. So I thought, let me just run back home. But it's not the first time I've seen something like this happen on a run. It happened to another female runner as well. And I remember at the time, I stopped to like be like, there was 2 meters between us. And then I think it was about April, May. So it was just before lockdown. I mean, just before lockdown opened. And I was like, just for her to feel like there's someone there around her to help out. But I wish someone was there for me, you know. But it's uncomfortable and it throws you off. Like a couple of days afterwards, I remember it was a Wednesday. I didn't go back out running till about Saturday, Sunday. Like it took that many days for me to shake it off. And then I looked at my run schedule. I was like, well, I need to run because I needed the break from work. It did throw me off. It doesn't matter what someone wears. Somebody will always have an opinion, whether you're fully covered or not. You know, I feel like some human beings feel like they're entitled to say something. And as members of the community, we should stick up for each other when something like that happens.
Yeah, I think this is my second time hearing your story and it's still as shocking. And I think when we spoke before, you really eloquently described it as this kind of catch-22, that women are harassed if they're deemed to be uncovered and then they're harassed if they're deemed to be covered up. And I really liked how you kind of, it's sort of so relatable and important, I think.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It relates to everybody. I mean, it's not only Muslim women that cover up. People want to be modest and they want to cover up or not. It's up to the person. You know, you're free to be who you want to be. We live in the UK and you can do what you want, but it's like you're wearing a sports bra hijab with a brand that advocates for Muslim athletes and then you get this as well on the other side. And I thought, shame on you. You're the one that has a side life, but I'm the one that's talking about this now and hopefully educating others. And it's all about like knowing where and when to step in if something, if somebody, another human being witnesses something like this, or just like without even saying anything, just being around. I remember when I stuck for the other female runner that happened to me, I wasn't anywhere near her, but it's just the thought of like, I'm here as well. And then we continued on running behind each other for like a good half an hour, but it was the thought of like, there's someone with you as well. And if something happened, there's a witness. Because after that, you've heard of so many stories that happened to women all around the UK. I think the Sarah Everard story shook everybody, because that could have been anyone. You know, it's just heartbreaking and sad, but it doesn't stop me from being who I am, and I'm still going to go out and run.
Well, that's good. I was going to ask if there's been a kind of lasting impact on how you run. Has it changed the routes you take or how you feel when you're running, or are you doing much the same as you were before?
Yeah, I mean, even way before this incident for safety, it does. I mean, it's summertime now, which is great because the sun doesn't set till a bit, well, hopefully summer anyways. The sun doesn't set till late, so there's a bit of daylight even at 9 o'clock, which is nice. But during the winter months, especially like the second lockdown, which I think was really hard on a lot of people, the sun would set at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and my working day finishes at five, and I just want to go out and run. But I've got this clip on lights that I won from a competition from one of the Adidas runs that happened in London a couple of years ago, and they're still working, and I kept them on my shoes. I also wear like a high-vis colour when I'm out running at night. Sometimes headlamps come in really handy, and always let somebody know. I let like a family member always know what route I'm going. If it's a long run, especially on a Sunday, like I would let somebody know where I'm going, how long I'm going to be. I guesstimate if it's going to be like a 2-hour run, I'd be like, I'm going out for 2 hours for running, maybe grab groceries and coffee on my way back. So I'll be out for 2.5 hours. So there's always that. If I'm not back in like 3 hours 4, then you know something's up. So look out for me.
So you are taking those various precautions already, because I think a lot of blokes maybe don't realise the day-to-day precautions that female runners have to take. I think Ben and I probably go out for a run and we don't have to make those kind of considerations, I think.
That's very much part of it. I think that a lot of the experiences of male runners is that they're going out for a run and they'll just choose any time of the day, any route that they want, and put on their short shorts and a vest and not be bothered about it and just head on out. And I think that that's a lot of what we wanted to try and achieve with the survey that which you kindly took part in and spoke up with about is highlighting the different experiences that people have with running and what actually the daily run means, rather than like the presumption that it's absolutely fine to just go out whenever you want.
I wish I could go out whenever I want. I mean, I love early morning runs, but when it's really dark outside, I'm like, is it worth it? My safety comes first. So it's kind of like I weigh the options. So midday runs seem to work the best for me at the moment. And it's less busiest on the road as well, because we're still living in a pandemic time. So, you know, I just want to be safe as well. So yeah, I pick and choose the time I run. And also like what I wear as well comes into it. I know that I'm still very much covered when I'm running, but at the same time, it's like, anything that would not attract attention. So just make sure, like, if I'm wearing a long sleeve top always because I'm wearing a hijab, but at the same time with my top below the hips, so that, you know, nobody says anything just in case, you know. But this whole just in case thing is a bit draining, you know, like you say run in the morning because you want to be safe just in case something happens, wear a headlamp just in case, you know, just wear, run in pairs if you can just in case. But I just want to go out and run. It kind of like defeats the purpose of the joy of running.
Yeah. From the survey, we saw that only 3% of women ever really reported their harassment to the police. And Jane, I know that you've experienced it and reported it before and it's come to nothing. Mm-hmm. Was there any point where you felt that you would report it, and what stopped you from doing that, or did you report it?
I mean, that incident I didn't, and that's the one that the guilt that I felt. It's like, why didn't I? Because I could have gained all the information I needed at the time to kind of like track down those members of the community. Well, but now I know better. Now I know that I have the law on my side. Now I know I can easily say so-and-so did that, or take a picture, or do something, anything, report it. As long as like somebody, I know that I've done it. I don't know what's going to happen next. What are they going to do with that information? Are they going to catch these people or what? But I know that I've done it, and my conscience will feel better, because hopefully like it will deter that same person doing it to the next runner on the road.
Yeah, I definitely think from my experience, the police didn't do anything. But I think from talking to the women I've spoken to in this campaign, a few women said, if we keep reporting every time it happens, the police will have to do something. They will have to do it, because if they're getting hundreds of calls a week from women, they have to have a look at what they can do. So I guess maybe as individuals, we don't report it. But if everyone starts doing it, then we'll be able to run safer. So you can see it's a change that needs to happen.
Strength in numbers, definitely. It is a change that needs to happen. And boys, men, anybody that identifies as male sees something like that happening, just stop and like be there for support as well. And like having witnesses does help. So if somebody does report it and be like, yeah, somebody else witnessed it and this is their details, then yeah, having allies does help. And, you know, it's a shift in how we look out for each other, because that could ease, anybody could be the next person that goes missing, and we don't want that.
I think that stood out for me in your story, that yes, it was one individual, but the other four were silent, and that's almost as bad.
Yeah, I mean, they just sat there, still enjoyed their meal and drink, but I'm the one that kind of went back home shaken. And then I thought, you know, I was covered top to bottom, literally, like you could just see my hands and my face, even like my ankles were covered. But it's like, what is it that you see that I don't when I'm out running? What is it that you imagine and see? It's like, it's way beyond that. And I thought, and also like, because of the type of day job that I have, I stop and think of like, what is their psyche doing? Like, how are they thinking? How are they processing the information when they see a female runner, woman runner, girl runner doing just enjoying life? Like, what is it that you see? So that's another whole thing as well. So it's, at the time I felt like I felt like he saw through me, and I was like, no, but you can't see through me, because I make sure like I'm modest when I'm out, because I'm not just a runner, I'm a Muslim runner as well, and my religion comes first always. Like, so it's like, what is it that you see that I don't? Am I portraying myself as something else? But even if I was, what's it got to do with you? So what if somebody's out running? I mean, summer months are coming soon, hopefully. It's going to get warmer. There's going to be more girls and women out running in sports bras and shorts, and good for them. So are they going to be harassed? Most likely they will be. And I hope that they stop and report something like this. And if I see it happening again to myself or anybody else, God forbid, I will stop and report it, definitely.
Good for you. I think that is a shift that a lot of men need to make, is that we can console ourselves, or have been allowed to console ourselves, the idea that, well, I'm not out there saying these kind of things, therefore, like, I'm completely innocent in this whole debate. Where actually, what a lot of women are asking is, if you do see it, it's not enough just to be neutral and not to be a perpetrator. You've actually got to call it out and be kind of anti-sexist, anti-racist. And that's on men, I think. And I think some men are kind of resistant to it, but I think that's absolutely what needs to happen as a next step, I think.
Definitely. I mean, at the time as well, in July, I remember, like, we were riding the wave of the Black Lives Matter movement. So everything was heightened. So I was like, wow, it felt like not a slap, but a punch in the face. I was like, I'm visibly Muslim, I'm also Black, and I'm a woman. Like, you're targeting every single identity of me. Like, I felt, it felt so demoralizing, and, you know, and I wouldn't want it to happen to anybody ever. I mean, I was brave enough to speak about it afterwards and share my, I mean, when that survey came out, I didn't even think twice. I clicked, and straight away, like, I wrote something. And I remember, like, when I got the email from Eugene, I was like, oh my God, like, somebody noticed the story. You know, this is amazing. And look at the conversations that are happening now. And I call out people. I've got two younger brothers who are young men. And I always say to them, like, when you see something like this happen, stop and just be an ally. And it's like, there's strength in numbers. Just stop and just observe what's happening, and step in when it needs to be, and call the police, which comes to show. So, you know, lessons are being learned, definitely.
I mean, your story is unfortunately just it's a sort of triple whammy of hate, really, isn't it? If you think sort of you've got misogyny, Islamophobia, and racism all thrown into one big...
Everything in one. When running is such a beautiful, like, the running community is so beautiful. Like, I've travelled because of running. I've been to World Majors and had a great time at Chicago, Berlin, and hopefully New York end of this year. And I know, like, everybody loves each other, because, like, we love running, and that's why, like, this community is so close-knit. So when something like this happened, like, it vibrates in the running community. And I think the survey that came out, that's why so many women filled that out, because it's something that we do, but at the same time, the comments that come with that are so unnecessary.
So you got New York. Is that your next running adventure?
Yeah, so New York was meant to be last year, but I had a confirmed entry. I entered the ballot and I got a place. So my entry was meant to be for last year, November 2020, but obviously because of the pandemic, it's been deferred. So I was given the option of two dates, so 2021 this year or next year. So I filled out option one, option two, and I find out 1st of June if I get the go-ahead for this year. I can't wait. Yeah,
oh, wow.
I'm taking a break from running because I just needed May to rest, but I'm talking to a run coach, and I'm hoping that once that date is confirmed, June onwards, my training will start. And I can't wait. New York is meant to be amazing. I mean, London is number one.
Of course,
sure.
The best. Oh, 100%. London Marathon is brilliant. Like, nothing beats the running community in London. But apparently New York might. So I'm always going to be biased for London, but I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, that sounds great. That sounds really exciting. Yeah.
Yeah, I've not run it. I think, Ben, you've been there for New York, haven't you? You've been in New York at the time.
Yeah, a few times now, and it's a totally different experience. So I think London can still definitely be your number one, that's fine, but the New York experience is very different. Like, you, when you get up through like Harlem and stuff, and the music and the atmosphere is way more, like, it's up more than
I can just imagine. Yeah, everybody's telling me, yes, you're saying London, wait until you run.
It's strong. It's hilly though, those bridges. Yeah,
I know. Yeah, that's why I can't wait. Like, this year I'm definitely working with a one coach, but because everybody's telling me New York is very hilly, I'm like, okay. Chicago was beautiful and so flat, so yeah, we'll see. But I can't wait to start running again. I've got Hackney Half coming up in September, so that should be a nice
warm up.
Really good. Intizar, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast and sharing your story with us. It was great to have you on and to, you know, hear from yourself. Actually, we might have read it. Anyone listening might have read it, but to hear you talk about it was hopefully super helpful for a lot of people.
Thank you very much for having me on board. It's been a pleasure.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Run As Well podcast. Thanks very much to our guest Intizar, and to you, of course, for listening.
You can subscribe to Runner's World magazine and get three issues for just £5. Head to hearstmagazines.co.uk/runnersworldpodcast to get this exclusive listener offer.
The Runner's World podcast is available on Acast, iTunes and all your favourite podcast apps. Just search Runner's World UK and click subscribe. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.